Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 102 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. I'm going to make my introductory comments fairly quick. I've just got a couple of things I want to do. The most fun thing being, every once in a while, I will go through the comments in these videos, right? Either videos that the CCFR has done or podcasts on YouTube specifically. I'll go through the comments and sometimes I see some interesting stuff there. And so I'm going to answer or speak to some of those things. I'm going to bring on Tracy Wilson to talk about a few things, most specifically the new cabinet that was appointed by Justin Trudeau. He's back from surfing. He did a little bit of work, appointed a new cabinet. We should be thankful for that. I mean, that's a little bit of work, right? So we'll talk about that and also a few other things, and I'll say a few things in my send-off and we'll end it there. But before we get started, let's talk about our sponsors, Vortex, the force of optics. Thank you to our friends over at Vortex Canada for continuing to support the podcast. We truly appreciate it. You can check out all the great stuff over at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. And our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. We truly appreciate their support as well. You can check out all of their fantastic work at saskriversseci.com. That's saskriversseci.com. All right. Now, Some comments. So usually I'll scan through the YouTube comments, and sometimes it's that same night that I upload the podcast, and then other times it might be a day or two later. But after that, I typically don't go back, just because if you guys look, we get anywhere from 200 to 600 comments per video, depending on what the video is and how many people watch it, right? So it takes a lot of time, and I only have so much time because I'm just a regular person, right? So anyway, I came to the office, I opened the internet, opened the YouTube channel, and there's a little thing when you have a YouTube channel and you'll see kind of just some recent comments, and there's always a big number there because I never checked them. And so I thought, I'll look through them. And some of them were kind of interesting. I thought, maybe I'll just mention them and speak to them real quick, and it'll be something fun. Because right now, I know I'm gonna digress, but right now we've come off all of our big projects and we've come out of the election. And right now at the CCFR, we're focused on other things, internal things, court case and fundraising. So there's a bunch of little mini projects. Tracy and I will talk about them, where we have to turn our attention to making sure that we have money to continue to run the CCFR and do the big projects again. Plus, we have some projects coming in the future that I have to start planning for and start working on because it's a lot of work. So anyway, having said that, I started looking through these comments. I thought it might be fun to speak to some of them, because that's more of an outreach kind of interactive thing that I don't really get to do very often. And I thought it'd be kind of fun. So anyway, there's only a few. So check this out. Kevin Smith commented, their plan is to get all the guns out of the public's hands. Then they can implement the new government that controls everything. And you know, it's funny. I think Kevin is right. So basically, and here's the reason why I think that, in our court case, as you guys know, when someone sues you or is in some kind of legal proceeding against you, you'll have to provide evidence. And as you guys know, when it came time, the government has to justify doing things that we believe are against the charter. Or they have to justify basically everything they do. And if it's unjustifiable or it looks that way, someone might bring an action against the government, which we did. And among other people, other parties that did as well. And in their justification, the government said, well, here's the REAS, the regulatory impact assessment or something statement. I can't remember what it was, but their little 3-page essay about why they're doing it, right? And it was part of the OIC. And so that's what they submitted. And I think one witness, which was Murray Smith from the Canadian Firearms Program way back in the day, the Firearms Lab. And and we're like, okay, well, the judge is like, okay, don't you have any other evidence? There's a pile like this of the CCFR and other, cooperating with other parties evidence. Where's yours? And they're like, Section 39. It's just too secretive. We can't tell you. So something as clearly explainable as their position on guns, they aren't able to explain it. So when someone like Kevin Smith says their plan is just to, they don't think we should have guns. They don't think they can trust us with guns. They want to be the only people with guns. How do you dispute that? when you have a government that behaves like there's something to hide, right? So, Kevin, I believe that you're completely right. And no, they don't want us to, you know, slaves don't have guns, right? The underclass don't have guns. Only the elites and the government have guns. Now, why that is, I'll let you decide. But that's what it seems to be like, right? Next one, Z Swayze commented, that post was an articulate conversation that the people of the CCFR wanted to see. You can't block viewpoints like CNN, you dang communists. Put the post back up for people to see. So the reason why I mention this one is, I don't know what other posts there was there, but I'm the one that runs the YouTube channel and the Facebook CCFR radio channel or radio page. And other people have access to it, but they never go in there, almost never, right? I think they went in there a little while ago and left a comment about my, you know, what was going on with me. But other than that, nobody touches it. And so just so Z Swayze knows, there's a filter in the comments, right? And that filters out, you know, swear words. It filters out derogatory words like libtard and stuff like that. And the reason for that is that the comments get really, really undesirable to read. And I actually don't remove any, like, I don't think I've removed a comment, probably maybe two comments in the last year. Like, I just don't do it because most people know how to have a reasonable conversation in there because we kind of lead by example, right? It's not a channel that, you know, where I'm ranting and raving like a lunatic and then you get the same thing in the comments. And so, and the other reason that I put those filters in there is other people might look at the comments and say, well, here's the CCFR supporters, when these people may not even be members or supporters to begin with. They're here just to cause problems and to leave a great big mess. So it looks that way, right? So if your comment isn't showing up, you probably put a word in there that you shouldn't put in there. Now, like I said, I don't remove comments because most times, even if it's a critical comment and people disagree with me, I leave it. You know, I had a longtime guy that's been commenting since the beginning of the CCFR YouTube channel that called me a coward for voting conservative, a coward and whatever. I forget what he put in there, and I left it there. I'm like, well, if that's your opinion. And then the next video, he's like, oh, Rod, you're the best. So, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, we're all frustrated and do all kinds of, you know, say things maybe that we don't mean. So so anyway, Z Swayze, if you want your comment to be viewable for everybody, just make sure that you just speak like a normal person in a polite manner and just give your opinion and other people can give their opinions in response to that. You probably just used a bunch of words that you shouldn't have put on in there anyway. And I can see by the minutes, like, my comment's not there, you're communist, right? So we're trying to encourage people to not jump to those conclusions and call each other communists and traitors and you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, reform your argument and I guarantee you the filter will leave you alone. So, and then I think in the background of the YouTube channel, those things that are caught by the filter are there for review. I think you can see how long it's been since I've been in there because I'm not going to approve hundreds of comments per video or per every three videos. I just don't have that kind of time. So if your comment's getting caught by the filter, that's probably why. Antique Tractors and Equipment says, now these are three comments in a row and there's probably 100 in total, but I just wanted to sample these because I think we have a bit of a consensus. Fully in favor of the CCFR holding people accountable for slanderous action. Birdman Dave says, I fully support ramping up on taking slanderers to court, show them we won't be bullied and that we're here to fight useless gun laws that don't do anything to prevent gun violence. For sure. Winnipeg Mike says 100% support the idea of holding people legally accountable for their lies. It's a sad statement of our country's state that this needs to be a legal process. Law is supposed to be for things much more important, I think is what he said. I kind of cut that off. Ian McDonald. So all those three say is that, yeah, I'm glad that you guys are going to support us in doing these things. And they're expensive and they're time consuming. They're really time consuming for me because I have to provide all of the CCFR side of the story but I think it's worth it, right? It's just if we can just talk about our differences as civilized people, then none of this has to happen. And you know what is interesting is that the anti-gun people, right? Paulie and the nutty professor and the docs and all this stuff, they all started, and a few of their goofy supporters, there's one guy that's a lawyer, what a nut. just acts like an angry child, an angry preschooler all the time. But anyway, they're all like, oh, you know, look at these people bullying. It's like bullying. We're the ones that are suing people that are slandering us. You can't sue for defamation if what's being said is not true, right? So what they're really angry about is that we're not going to put up with them lying about us anymore and that there's going to be consequences. And if you don't want those consequences, like all you have to do is just not lie, right? It's so easy to debate with these people for some reason. That's what frustrates me, is that there's still a debate, yet these people debate like they're like literally children. So anyway, whatever. So we're going to continue to do that. We're going to ramp that up, hopefully. Ian McDonald comments. He says, can you address gun club discrimination segregation? I think what he's talking about is these COVID rules. And you know what? Ian's right. The whole thing is ridiculous. I don't talk too much about other topics because, as I tell people, my life doesn't belong to me right now. It belongs to the members of the CCFR that fund us and that support us. So I can't get entangled in a lot of different issues right now, certainly at not a risky level. I have my opinions. They're very strong. They're, I'd like to think, always evidence-based, and I like to express myself reasonably, but I just can't, you know, I have to stay in the gun control lane because I owe it to you guys, right? So, but, you know, I still can express an opinion. I just can't do it too strongly. As far as COVID-19 regulations affecting gun ranges, if the gun ranges are outside, if you're talking about outdoor ranges, is ludicrous because they have like demonstrations where they're like burning cities down and they call those mostly peaceful protests and never refer to them as super spreader events. And yet, you know, you can't go to the gun range where, you know, it's 40 meters wide and there's like two other people on the whole range and you're outside. You know, that's apparently too risky. So of course it's ridiculous. You know, 60% maybe 80% of the handling of COVID-19 is completely absurd. It's not achieving our goals. It is discriminatory. It is segregationist. It's terrible. But I'm not going to address that. But all that to say, you know, the regulations that are being pushed down to gun ranges, those come provincially. So you can always write letters to your MPP. That's what they're for, or MLA. And you just, those are the people that you got to go to, and or the premier of your province. So, you know, not much we can do about that, but that's where that discrimination and segregation comes from. And I didn't get the person who, just when I copied and pasted this, but this is kind of funny. Just went to the doctor's YouTube channel. Wow, 31 subscribers, 2 copies of the same video, comments turned off. So, you know, for a topic that apparently 80% of Canadians agree with, they sure don't get a lot of traction. Now, just so you know, there are a lot of videos on the Doctors for Protection from Guns, Canadian Doctors for Protection from Guns YouTube channel. Not a lot of them, but there's quite a few of them, but they're all marked unlisted. So you can't see them unless you have the link. And the way to do that is you've got to go all the way down the doctor's Twitter feed, like way, way down there. And you'll see every once in a while, it's like, you know, like a video from their National Day of Action that, you know, when it was broadcast online, people didn't even have to leave their homes to watch it. And they had something like, I don't know, I screenshot it and I think I tweeted it or put it out somewhere, but it's like in total, like there's 100 and some odd people watching it. And they you know, these guys get the benefit, full court press from the media, right? Like interviews and like, tomorrow's going to be a historic day for, you know, the movement against guns or whatever. Like they get massive, massive coverage. And they can't get 150, 190 people to watch this National Day of Action. And me, when they did it physically, the first one, they couldn't get more than, I don't know, 80, 90 people in Toronto where they're based at, right? Using all of the resources of the hospital, right? The medical system to promote this stuff, which they do. You know, their mailing address for their corporation, right, is at St. Michael's Hospital. They're using the mailing address of the hospital for their anti-gun thing. And the hospital allows that, right? So all the advantages they have, they can't get more than, you know, a few views. So anyway, if you go down their Twitter feed, you get to these individual videos that they did. Oh, look at Dr. So-and-so standing up to the gun lobby bullies. If you click on that link and you go to the video, it's like 32 views. Like they can't even get more people to watch it than are even involved in their organization on the board. Like I think there's like 20 of them or something that are their executive members. They barely have more views than they have executive members. So anyway, all that to say, I thought it was kind of humorous because for a topic that apparently 80% of Canadians agree. They can't get more than 22,100 signatures on a petition. They can't get any funding into their organizations. They can't actually draw any members. They don't have, actually have any members, I don't think. I don't think they're a member-based organization. They can't get any views on any of their material. They don't even, they couldn't even get everybody at St. Michael's Hospital to watch it if you look at the numbers, right? I just find that interesting, right? And on top of that, they won't debate with anybody. It's all hit and run kind of drive-by, you know, facts, you know, because they'll get disproved really quickly. So it's just interesting. They won't appear with anybody else on a television show. It only happened once ever. It's very interesting to me. So, and look at how easy it is to be anti-gun. Like, it's almost like being pro the government's line on COVID, you know, just like, yeah, you know, this is the way to stop the spread. It's like, well, there's no risk in that at all. Right? That's the same lines being pushed by the government, pushed by the media. There's no risk. Same thing with gun control. Yeah, you know, ban guns. We don't want violence. It's like anybody can say that and they can get television coverage, right? And there's zero risk at all, you know, and they don't have to prove it. They just have to say you're pro-violence and you're a bigot, right? So for as easy as it is to be anti-gun, for some reason, they just can't get traction with anything that they do. To me, that's interesting. All right. I'm going to leave it there, and we're going to bring on Wilson and see what she has to say. All right, on the Skype, we have Tracy Wilson. Wilson!
Giltaka!
People are screaming that at you quite often now, I think. Hey, Wilson!
Yeah, like at the grocery store, Home Depot, on the tour, everywhere. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's now people are going to connect Tom Hanks in Castaway, where he was screaming Wilson. They're going to connect him to the gun lobby. I think that should go viral. Yeah.
A bloody handprint on a volleyball and just have it on my business card. That's all it needs to say.
Yeah. Just guns. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. I'm not getting as much traction on that as I thought I would, but I'm kind of tired. I don't know. I got a lot going on. All right. First thing we want to talk about is new cabinet appointments. So some interesting things. So why don't you take it from here?
Yeah, so the Prime Minister of Canada came back from his wonderful vacation in Tofino just in time to appoint a new cabinet. This is interesting. He kept it about the same size. There's 37 cabinet seats, I believe. Only 7 of them remained exactly the same. So that's interesting. That's a big shift. That's a lot of new appointments or people being shuffled around into different positions. So I would categorize this new cabinet myself as a younger, more woke cabinet than what he had before. And in fact, some files were actually separated. We see that with public safety. Minister Blair's old title was Minister of Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness. Now that's been siphoned off. Bill kept the emergency preparedness and the public safety went over to Marco Mendicino. Marco, you may remember, I've been posting it all over social media. He went on an episode of Political Blind Date with Glenn Motz. This is a really cool show where they take politicians from opposite sides of a topic, send them out together, and see if they can maybe get a better understanding of each other's positions, which seems completely reasonable to me and actually a really
cool
good
concept.
Idea.
Yeah, cool concept.
Yeah, imagine us sitting down and talking and understanding each other like crazy. So anyways, they went out and long story short, Glenn ended up taking him over to the gun range to speak to some legal gun owners and offered him the opportunity to, you know, take a shot, literally. And of course, he was afraid to even touch it. So raises some concerns, you know, I mean, I'm not sure what to make of that, but I am going to be optimistic. I do think I've been talking to a lot of pundits on both sides of the table for the last 24 hours about these appointments. And of course, Blair got emergency preparedness, but he also got president of the Privy Council. And I was like, oh, that sounds really important and meaningful. And everyone I've spoken to said this is basically his walk out in the sunset, that it's largely symbolic. And, you know, I was like, well, I don't know. And they're like, well, can you mention who was the president of the Privy Council before or any president ever? And I'm like, well, only because I Googled it after yesterday, right? And they said, exactly. It's a largely symbolic appointment. And it's sort of his way out. They'll look at Marco Mendicino as a younger, more urban voice who's ready to come at this file with a fresh perspective. So that's where we are on that.
Well, we'll see about that. He certainly comes across as more reasonable, but every cabinet appointment knows going in that your job is you're going to get a massive pay raise, by the way. Really good bump on your resume, and you're just going to do exactly what Trudeau tells you to do, or you'll find yourself, walking out the door. But I have a different perspective, and it's somewhat out of ignorance. So, most people, I think I would concur that most people would say that, having anything to do with the Privy Council is just symbolic and it's meaningless or whatever. But, in our court case, the Section 39 excuse for the government to, the actual privilege of the government to say, it's cabinet confidence, it's cabinet secrecy that we can't give you any evidence in our court case against you, pound sand. Here's all the precedents. This is too sensitive material to tell you why we're banning guns. That document was signed by the clerk of the Privy Council, which was, I believe Michael Warnick before the SNC scandal. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who signed this one. I can't remember. But the Privy Council, I think, is a caretaker of some things. And my paranoid vision, I could be completely wrong because I really don't know that much about those functions, is that if you need somebody to do something that no moral person will do, you'll get Bill Blair in that position because he won't think about it for a second. Right. He'll just be like, are people going to be hurt by this? Yeah, I'm in. Tell me what I got to do. I'm ready. And so I don't know. I would not like to think that this could be ominous in some way. It's like, we're going to, do a lot of immoral things that will be viewed very badly through the lens of history. Well, we need some hatchet man that will literally do anything. I've got just the guy, Bill Blair. Let's stick him over here. Well, yeah, he definitely is the guy for that. I mean, that's demonstrable. I can prove that clearly. So I hope I'm wrong and the people that have given you your information are right, that this is a nothing burger and just looks great on a resume, and that maybe we've seen the last of this monster. Anyway, I hope I'm wrong and you're right.
We shall see how it plays out. Yeah. And I always like being right, of course, but in this case, I particularly hope that I'm right. But, anyways, I've been downtown Ottawa today, and I know the Conservative Caucus was down there meeting, and beautiful day in Ottawa, and there's a lot of conversations going on about where this is all gonna go. So
are you trying to be careful about what you say? It sounds like it.
No, but we can watch for an announcement coming from the Conservative camp, maybe by the end of this week or early next week, where they'll announce their shadow cabinet, which of course is the opposition critics to the positions that were just announced. They usually always wait until after, the side that's in government announces, because of course there could be new ministries created or developed, which happened this time. Mental health was separated off of the health file. So they of course have to put the right people in the opposition critic positions to go through that. So watch for an announcement. Of course, I'll be posting it everywhere, and I'm looking forward to seeing who will be working with and against in this upcoming session.
Yeah. And so the next thing on the agenda is the CCFR had its sixth anniversary, which came and went without either of us noticing. It's not as meaningful as it used to be because we're so busy, right?
Well, I know. And I actually feel bad because it is a big deal. Like it really is. Our sixth birthday, just came and went on the 22nd. And, I think back to those early days and honestly, it feels like it's been 15 years, but, I think of those humble beginnings and, I think it built a really good foundation for where we are today. It's kept us humble and hungry and we work hard and, happy birthday to everybody. A lot of people listening to this right now may be in that first group of people who were waiting all hours of the night for the gates to open. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, we're 6 years old. We're right at the point where you got to put everything up on a higher shelf because we'll just hurt ourselves with it, right?
Maybe.
Don't let them get a hold of the car keys. We'll never see them again. It's been a journey. I think maybe next time. It's just been such a crazy, you know, there's an election cycle. I've had my own issues. We had a lot of big projects that took a tremendous amount of work to finish off. We've had a lot going on. Now the pressure's off, at least right now. And I'm trying to catch up with a bunch of stuff personally that I've neglected terribly at the CCFR, but I've had a difficult time finding the time to do it as well, as you well know. But yeah, we made it 6 years, almost basically virtually the entirety of our existence under a Liberal government, first under a majority Liberal government. So, you know, I would love at some point in the future, while I'm still involved with the CCFR, to have a friendly government so that we could change our focus into just supporting, you know, good legislative change. But it looks like we got a few more years of adversarial government to go.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, a lot of people say to me all the time, thank God for the CCFR. Where would we be without you guys? And, you know, as I forget about my affiliation with the CCFR, but as a gun owner, I kind of feel the same way. So I have an organization that I feel represents my values and fights hard and, you know, is careful and meticulous in their messaging. And that matters to me. So, yeah,
well,
I like it.
We do what we can. I always take the position that we do what we and everything that we can absolutely do. But in our system, as I'll say it, you know, I've said it a million times, in our system, the only way to save your guns is to get a friendly government in power. I guess I'll qualify that by saying if we prove differently in our court case, great. But from where we stand right now, that's the only way to save your guns, to get the Liberals out of power and make sure that some government that, you know, there's no perfect government in waiting in the wings, right? No. It'll give you everything that you want, but at least to take the pressure off and to maybe get a few things back a little bit at a time. I mean, that's the best we can hope for. And we're doing everything we possibly can do to get there. But, you know, I always wish that I could do better than what's within my power to do.
I know, me too.
It is what it is.
Me too. I think, you know, at the end of the day, I would really just love to see the day we have a government that can take a good, hard, honest look at the rising crime we see. I mean, over 6 years of a Liberal government, shootings are up, violence is up. I don't know how much longer we can go like this. I'd like to see a safer Canada.
Well, and, you know, I don't want to be too harsh, but rising violence and rising gun problems do nothing but serve to support what the Liberal government wants to do on guns. It doesn't.
Oh, yeah, they use it every super, chance they get.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good for them, for their political aspirations. Like it,
yeah, which is horrible. You know,
well, yeah. And I will. I do want to add, though, that farm-related violence was up right at the end of 2015, right when Justin Trudeau took over. And it's actually been rising long before the pandemic. But anyway, it serves their purposes quite well. But as a citizen that just wants a safer Canada, as I know you do, too, it's just it's terrible. And yeah. Anyway, there you go. Okay. Now, it's a lot of the work that I'm doing right now, and I know you're doing some, too, is now that our, you know, because really there's two main groups of the kind of work that we do at the CCFR. One is the actual political action, the things that forward the, you know, the goals of our members. And then we also have to fundraise to make sure that I can, you know, me or you can throw money at projects, throw money around to do the big things that we do. So I know you've got a couple of things. There's the sign contest going on right now. Yeah. I just, you know, and we've done a poor, between you and I, we've done a very poor job of promoting it. So
I know.
Yeah, you know, we're going to go out of our way to mention, you know, if you donate $10, you'll be entered in any multiple of $10. You'll be entered in the contest at the end of every month or so, depending on what's going on for a neon sign. So go ahead. I know you're going to say something there.
Well, I was going to say, we've got this whole series of neon signs. Everyone can see the one behind me with the standard CCFR logo. We've got the CCFR radio one that you've got. I actually just sent one of those out. We've got a couple of other cool designs. We had the firearm rights, our human rights. We have more of those. Like, my garage has a whole bunch of these in it. And then we got this one here. I'm going to lift it up, but it says, these guns are not for sale. And the writing is in two different colors, in white and red. So this looks really sharp. up on the wall of your man cave or lady lair.
This is the one. This is the first one that has the red lettering. So it's different than the other firearm rights or human rights ones.
I went to hang it up on the wall, but of course it's tucked. I don't know if you can see this. It's all wrapped up and ready to ship. So I want to send this to somebody. Do you want this? You people watching, look at the size of this thing.
What do you mean, you people?
You people. Yeah, that's how you get cancel culture.
Yeah. Well,
whatever. But yeah, this has a massive AR at the bottom of it, as you can see. And it says these guns are not for sale. I can barely lift this thing. It's like 3 feet across. It's massive. Somebody needs to win this to put this up at their place. And I think it would look awesome. It's huge.
Whew, it is awesome.
That's a workout.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would like to send this to somebody. So I think you're going to put the link to enter the contest in the caption of this link on YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's down. Yeah. It's right down below right now.
Okay, perfect. And yeah, so if you're thinking of donating to the CCFR, you get a little bit of play money that you're able to contribute to the cause. This is the best way to do it because somebody has to win this. I've been shipping these things out every month. So this thing is huge. I literally have a wooden crate that it ships in. I'm going to send it to somebody and it may as well be you. So who wants it?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll check out it was just my mom calling. So I always have to make sure that she gets a text message back that I'm just on the phone. I'm not ignoring her.
Okay.
So I'm just like playing around my phone while you're talking. So, yeah, that's a great way to at least possibly win something. Plus, there's a new item in the store. I know this is not big news, but I mean, you just mentioned. I'm like, I mentioned it on the podcast.
Yeah, so we got a new hoodie. We've had a lot of people. They love the nice thickness of our hoodies. A lot of you probably already have them, the ones with the big CCFR logo on the front and the words down the arms. But people wanted something maybe a little more subdued and something with a zipper at the front. I personally am not a huge fan of the zipper hoodies, but I can appreciate them because they're easier to take off. You don't wreck your hair. There's actually some really good things about it. So we've got a new black unisex hoodie in the store with the zipper front. And then it's got the CCFR logo like that in embroidery. It's not in printing because I think that might look cheap. It's embroidered and it's beautiful, beautifully done, total zipper front, but it's the really thick material of our other nice new hoodies, the hoodies that everyone's been buying. So it's a really solid material, perfect for this time of year. Hunting season is upon us now. Lord knows out here in Ontario, we are about to be 3-4 feet under snow before long, and you're going to want those layers. So yeah, it's a great opportunity to wear something that's CCFR related, maybe not quite as loud and proud as the other items in the store. But just a really nice quality piece and, people have been wanting it in black. So it's there on the store.
Awesome. And, you know, I've been doing a little bit of stuff. So something that you can expect from us is I'm redoing our CCFR brochure. So if you've seen them, you know, our brochure game is like, it's heavy, right? It's a heavy hitting project. You know, we distribute a book of, you know, stuff that we've done so far and we've done so much. Whether it's billboards, the election campaign, you know, TV commercials, you name it, all this stuff. Yeah, the march, that's not in there either. Like there's a ton of stuff that's actually not in that book. So I'm in the process of updating the brochure. And then we're going to be working with our retailers to make sure that a brochure is getting shipped out into, you know, every gun case that they ship out, you know, every gun that they ship out. And so people can really understand what we're doing as an organization. We don't talk about heavy lifting. We don't talk about we're doing this and we're doing that or what we're interested in doing. I've seen that out there. Well, we're very interested in changing this. And it's like, well, that doesn't mean you've done anything, right? Or that you're even doing anything towards that goal. So, you know, what we've really wanted to do with the CCFR is just make sure that you know what we're doing, right? Like, what are you doing for me? And we always want to tell you and we publish a list on the website so that if at any time you're like, well, I don't think we've updated recently, but anyway, you know, because that's the last thing on our mind is updating the website. But we always want you to know what we're doing to deserve your trust and your support. So anyway, I'm getting a new brochure ready and get that out. And also, interestingly enough, I have another little fundraising project and it's just something else for the store. I can't tell you about it right now, but it's kind of a cool thing. I mean, this is not a blockbusting, you know, announcement, but just wait for it. Another few weeks and I'll be able to reveal that. But it's kind of a cool thing that you'll be able to get at the CCFR store to spice up the man or lady cave as well. So anyway,
awesome.
It's looking pretty good. You don't even know actually, Tracy, what I worked on yesterday with our designer. It's pretty cool.
What? I even work here.
That's right. It's so top secret. I can't even tell you. So anyway.
Are you pulling a Section 39 certificate on me right now?
Yeah, I'm going to actually ask Bill Blair to sign one up for me as his first act as new Minister of Emergency Preparedness. But anyway, there's no skull crushing involved, so he won't really be interested.
No.
It's not really not up his alley, right? Okay. In fact, I did call him and he said, and this is comedy, I don't want to get sued. But I called him and he said, do I get to beat on anybody? Get him a couple strokes with a nightstick or pepper spray them. I'm like, sorry, Bill, that's not the way we roll at the gun lobby. And he's like, never mind, do it yourself. So that's what happened. That's comedy. Didn't really happen. All right. I appreciate your time. And is there anything else?
No, I think that's about it for now, but I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about next time we get together.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you soon.
Have a great day.
All right, everybody. That's going to do it for episode 102. Of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Really appreciate you joining me. Make sure you share this podcast and get it around and get people watching it. It's just a really good way for us to spread farm-related news and also to show people that might be, you know, might have donated to the CCFR or might be CCFR members to know what it is we're doing for them, right? Why they're actually supporting us. That's really important to me, that they're getting value for money. So anyway, share the podcast if you can. And I've just got a couple of comments. By the way, I'm not going to talk about my personal stuff, my health or whatever this time. I'll wait a couple of podcasts till I have an update, just so you know, like a meaningful update rather than me kind of rattle along about that stuff. So it's not everybody's interested in it. And I certainly don't blame them. I'd like to stop talking about it. So what I did want to talk about is, as I said with Wilson just now, we kind of glossed over the CCFR's anniversary, although I consider the CCFR's birthday to be October 30th, because that's when we took the first CCFR membership. But anyway, we didn't make a big deal of it, obviously, as we mentioned, because, you know, we're just coming off an election cycle. It's been extremely busy. You know, we wound up a bunch of big projects, all that stuff. So maybe we'll do something special next time when we have more time. But I just want to say a couple of things. I consider the CCFR a really huge success professionally. Personally, I don't consider the CCFR a success. So let me just digress and explain that to you. As a gun owner, I would consider the CCFR a success if it was able to, at this point or some point in the very near future, get the government out of my life. The CCFR would be a success. I would call it a success in every aspect of my life if I was able to use my AR-15 right now. I have other firearms that are functionally equivalent to the AR-15, basically identical, that I can use out in the forest. And nobody seems to have a problem. And there never is a problem with that for some reason. There's no safety issue there. But for some reason, I can't do that with the AR-15. Why? Because it's purely political. It's for the softest minded people in Canada to think that they're being kept safe by a government that doesn't really truly care about their safety. So, you know, a success for me would be that the CCFR and me personally was able to do that for you. And so, yeah, it's not a success yet. Now, as an organization professionally, the CCFR has been a huge success. We've created an organization that has done so many things that have never even been contemplated, much less attempted, much less achieved before. And I'm really proud of that. And it's taken a lot of hard work to do that. So the CCFR is, in those terms, is a success, you know, and I want to attribute that to somebody. I want to take 25% of the credit for me and Wilson and staffer Steve and Adam and all the volunteers of the CCFR and the board and everybody that supported us. We'll take 25%, but 75%, the most important part, belongs to you guys, because we would be nothing more than a Facebook group if you guys didn't trust us so much so that you would give us your money that you worked for, and that the government took its cut, whatever it thought it deserved out of your paycheck. And then you thought, you know what? I got another $40 to become a CCFR member. I got another $25 to donate, you know, or I'm going to buy something from the store. Like, that's, I just never want you to think that that's not, that I don't think about that every time I turn on this camera and make a podcast for you guys. Like, it's, you're the reason that any of this happened. Okay. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate that and attribute that success, as it were, to you, not to us. You know, we work really hard And we do the best job that we possibly can with what we have, but we couldn't do any of it without you. So, and even just that you trust us to speak on your behalf. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm just a person, and I get mad and I get frustrated. And sometimes that makes its way to my thumbs, by extension, onto my phone, onto the Twitter platform, right? You know, or even in the podcast, because I get sick of it too. I'm just normal. But I do the best that I can to represent you in the most reasonable way possible, in the most effective way possible. And I know that everybody else tries their very best to do that as well. So just that you guys trust us so much to let us speak for you on your behalf, and that you fund us and you say, yeah, you know what? I know that you'll get the most of every dollar and you'll do something that I couldn't do by myself. And the CCFR is who I'm going to support. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate that. So that success belongs to you. So I'll take a little bit of credit, but the lion's share belongs to you. So I just wanted to say that. Other than that, I just want to thank our sponsors one more time, Vortex, the Force of Optics, for continuing to support us, and also the Saskatchewan Rivers Chapter, Safari Club International. We couldn't do it without you guys. So thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you one more time. Don't forget to share. If you want to become a member of the CCFR, you can do that at firearmrights.ca. If you want to make a donation, make it in $10 increments so that you can get unlimited amounts of entries into the Neon Sign Contest. You saw how big that thing is. They're awesome. And there's also a recruitment drive contest as well. So even if you bring in members, new members to the CCFR, you can win more stuff. And I think all the prizes are guns or something. I haven't looked at it. So check that out as well. Thanks so much for your support, and we will see you all soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.